interesting, perhaps, the course of this Gemara that we're going to do today, I had something that always bothered me. The grog and this was Parsha. And I think it connects very nicely. I'll share with you, and maybe it'll be a little round table. Maybe you'll have your own opinion over here. Something that bothered me a lot. The Gemara we did last time, we were in the middle of discussing the Gemara with Hananya Mishael Azari. And Gemara says, we all know the story, that the Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down, but they refused, and they got thrown into the Kibshon HaEish, and they walked around and they had a party in there. Nothing happened to them at all. And because of that, the Gemara continues to explain that it created, even by Nebuchadnezzar, tremendous acknowledgement and awareness of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even he had to start praising until the Malach came and closed his mouth in order not to put Tehillim to shame. That was the Gemara we did last year. Now, it's interesting to note is that after that story of the Kibshon HaEish, if you look around, you don't find Hananya Mishael Azaria anywhere else. Seems like they like fell off the face of the planet. And it's interesting to note because usually, like the Mefarshim explained, that after such a story like that, what really should have happened, technically, if we were running the world, is Nebuchadnezzar would have signed these three people up to be his top ministers. Because, you know, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And now he realized that, oh no, these guys had something that I don't have, so it would have made sense. And there should have been a whole other book written on the life of Hananya Mishael Azaria post Kibshon HaEish. And yet you don't hear one word from him. That's the Gemara discusses today. That's the Gemara we're up to. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down on Tzadik Yom Lamed Aleph. The two dots. That's the Gemara's question. Rabbanan Lehechen Ozan. Where did they disappear? Where did they go? So Tzadik Yom Lamed Aleph, 4 lines down after it gets white. Okay? I'll recap quickly. I noticed you weren't here. The Gemara, the last couple of shiurim, was talking about the Kiddush Hashem that Hananya Mishael Azaria did by not bowing down to the Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and even though they were going to give their life and got thrown into the furnace, fiery furnace, they came out unscathed at all. There wasn't, and not only that, but everybody else was able to look in and watch them walk around. It was a total knockout punch to Nebuchadnezzar. And it created a lot of things. A lot of miracles happened on that day. But the Ikka, one of the main things that we're discussing, is that it created that by Nebuchadnezzar and the people around him, his ministers, a tremendous awareness of just how small they are in relative skills with Hashem. That they can't do anything, they're not in charge of anything. Even what they did, they killed out the captives of Dura, a valley, I don't know if you hear them. Yecheskel came and he brought them back to life. Same people that they killed, he brought them back to life. That's a little recap, a quick recap. So now the Gemara wants to know, Rabbanan Lehechen Ozan, where did they go? Where did Hananya Mishael Azaria go? So the Gemara explains a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Ayin Hara Mason. He died because of Ayin Hara. Rashi says that when they came out of that fire, it created a tremendous Ayin Hara because everybody was like looking at them like, wow, they were amazed. And Merelo, that created an Ayin Hara. Now, Ayin Hara is a very interesting thing. You all know about Ayin Hara. Now, some people want to tie it up. Look, if you're worried about Ayin Hara, then you have what to be worried about. But if you don't think about it, then you don't got to worry about it. But yet, in the regular mundane world, most of the time, I don't know if it's the husbands, but the wives, the mothers of children, and usually the husbands too, but it's very nicker with the mothers. Every time, it's everything is Kli'ayin Hara. Everything. How many children? 18 Kli'ayin Hara. Everything is Kli'ayin Hara. You shall not Kli'ayin Hara. it's on the tip of our tongues, Kiseder. That means there is a certain concept of Ayin Hara, which we work with, which we deal with. We also know that Bracha, because the Baruch Hu comes on something that's Shomei Min HaAyin, something that's hidden. One of the Chiddushes is that something that's out there. It's whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create things like in the public forum. You know, as much as he can, he tries to create everything to look like regular. But Lamaisa, you have to see with little children when they're playing and they're laying on the floor and a kid jumps over them, so they jump back over me. I ain't her. I don't want to be short. Right? You could write a book if you wanted to write a book of all the different things like the Ayin Hara stuff. So if it's halacha stuff, like you shouldn't have your daughter marry somebody that's the same first name as you. These are halacha stuff. It's Shulchan Aruch. Some want to say Ayin Hara, some not. For example, don't name a child if there's somebody who died young and strange circumstances. Ayin Hara. I mean, you could keep going. You could write a book. And there is a book written on it somewhere. I once was...
Doesn't Rav Chaim have something on it?
Who?
Rav Chaim Kanievsky?
Could be. Right, that could be. That could be one of his farm. About all the different things that you have to worry about and not, you don't have to worry about. And whatever. And one of the things you should know that people make public occasions of, like, we're going to have Grandpa's 80th birthday party. Or, you know, Daddy and Mommy's 50th anniversary party. Whatever it is. And there's a very big theory from those in the Ayin Hara camp that that creates major problems. Because sometimes you make the 50th anniversary party because it's the last one you're going to be able to make. But if you wouldn't have made the 50th anniversary party, there'd probably be many, many more. Like, there are people in the Ayin Hara camp who are very, very into that. So, I don't know, I don't have a side. Me and Nishi, Yasin Reishi, so I'm not getting involved. But the Gemara here says, and this is according to the Shita of Rav. Rav has a famous Shita that most people die because Ayin Hara. It's a Shita that Rav has throughout Shas. So, Mele Rav continues in his Shita. And he says that the reason why they died right then and there, is that means the fire didn't kill them. The fire didn't kill them, but the Ayin Hara did. So, just catalog that. We're going to get back to that. But just, it's an interesting thought.
Well, what's the source behind Ayin Hara? Where does Rav get the concept from?
Well, what's brought down is, and everybody here feel free to chip in, is that the lesson is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you like flaunting something, you take on din instead of chesed, rachmanis. What happens is then, okay, so you're walking around patting yourself on the back, let's see if you still can. You know, there are different ways of really, you know, dialing it up to understand it. But the basic idea is don't stick out. I'll tell you an interesting thing. Many years ago, what?
I've heard because people are looking at you, now they're either jealous or...
You had a catalyst, I was about to say that, okay? And you had a catalyst of pulling out bad midos from people which are natural responses. Very natural response. I'll tell you a couple of interesting anecdotes. I'll tell you with me personally, one that to this day, almost 20 years later, made a very big impression on me. That I was a newlywed, and it was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I don't remember, and it's so long ago. And the person who davened for the Amid came down with a sudden case of laryngitis. He couldn't speak. And there was a little bit of a tumult because it was at the last minute. Because he got an aliyah and he went to say, Baruch Hu Hashem al Baruch, and it came out like he had laryngitis. And he tried clearing his throat and taking, you know, whatever he could. It was Rosh Hashanah, he took a drink of his Yom Kippur, he just tried clearing himself up. And Lamaisa, he wasn't able to. It came time to daven. Musaf, you know, you have to have Torah and you have to try for Musaf now, and he wasn't able to daven. Shmuel Kuner, he knows the person. And somehow it ended up that someone knew someone who knew someone that always Moshe Goldstein, he knows the Musaf. So it ended up by my door, by my seat. He asked me if I would pinch it. And the truth of the matter is, I had no business davening. I wasn't that old. I wasn't that chashif. I wasn't that ready. I wasn't that roy. Not humility. It's real. To daven and you're trying to lead the tshibur, you know, sometimes you just got to put all your guys aside. You got to be realistic. It just was above my pay grade. I didn't feel it was negeya. And I really didn't think it was negeya. But they had nobody else. So it ended up being my problem. So I went over to my Rebbe and I asked him if I could just ask him, Parshat Grant, I asked him, I said, okay, so now that I'm stuck with this job, what should I do? I'm going to go daven now. Until this day, I don't know if I ever had kavanah in any of my tefillos. I said it to him, straight. I said, I want to try now for the first time. So where do I start? And I was in my, you know, low 20s. I just got married. And I was very straight with him because I was very, very scared. I was, you know, for a change, I was serious and I didn't know what to do. So he looks at me, and in all seriousness, he looks at me and he says, with not a hint of a smile, he was very, very serious. He says, you only have one thing you have to think about. I was waiting to hear. And he says, don't sound a drop different than Rav Shmuel. That's the regular Baal Tefillah. He says, you'll know your tefillahs were accepted by Hashem if when you're finished, everybody says, sounded pretty similar. Just because you have a better voice, or because you know Niggin better than him, or because you're just a new kid on the block, everybody gets excited about the new kid on the block. He's been davening for years. They're bored of him. If anybody says to you, wow, it was so much better than Rav Shmuel, why can't we have you all the time? Then you'll know your tefillahs didn't get to first base. I said, no, but I want to know kavanas. What kavanas should I have by davening? And he says, I told you what kavanas you have to have by davening. I don't care if you don't even think of Pirush HaMilos. I don't care if you don't know Taicha one word. I don't care. But if at the end of davening, you didn't do it a drop different than a drop better, of course you're different than him, so it's not going to be the same. But if you could pull that off, and make sure you pull it off, because you don't want to have a kitrik on Yom HaDin that you were Mavayishim, or you caused people in the audience to talk bad. You have a very, very hard job. Forget about how you're reading the words. Forget about the translation of the words. Forget about the song you're going to sing. All that isn't worth a hill of beans. The only one thing that's important is, don't outshine him. And he really hammered it home like only he can. He was scary, like he's able to be. And I was a young guy. And I tried very hard, because you have to realize, just as a side point, he sang some songs off tune. He sang it with the wrong tune. He had one thing where he started with one niggin, and then he did the second part, the high part, a totally different song. Because he mixed it up 10 years earlier when he started, and he just continued doing it the wrong way. And it was like, if you used to sing the song the right way, and now you got to get up in front of 400 or 300 people and sing it the wrong way, you know, it's going to cause you to crack up, you know, if you have a little sense of humor. It's a problem. And I worked really hard to try to do it exactly like him. And I remember now, and I remember then, that I didn't even concentrate on one word, because I was so busy making sure I did it right. I flowed in the way that my mind remembered him always doing it, and I basically played back a tape. That's what I did. Right after I finished davening, the guy sitting behind me, he's a loud person, he doesn't have any push. It's like a guy sneezes on that side of his medrash, and he's sitting over here, so he would yell from here, Gesundheit. Like, that was his nature, that's who he was. Every shul has to have like the one guy that has no pusha, and he's very like that. And he sits in that front row right behind the chazan. And right at that finish, my name is Moshe. The guy who's always down, his name is Shmuel. And right at that finish, he turned, he said that like, I should kill him, Shmuel. He was making fun of me. Because it was as if he was here. I mean, I did a very good job in imitating him. And I can tell you today, and I can tell you then, I didn't know the translation of one word. I didn't have a chance to look at it beforehand. I wasn't concentrating on it. I wasn't concentrating on anything else other than not making a total fool out of myself. I get my finger on the plate, and then it just sounded like him. Why? So I was discussing it afterwards. And the one of the Kudus that was driven home very stark is because if someone starts talking about how good you are, then you have a nine horror problem. You got what to worry about. No one's going to come over and say, oh boy, that guy has a terrible voice. I wish I had a terrible voice. I'm kidding.
I mean, it doesn't mean a person can't strive for perfection.
Oh, so I asked him that question. Very good. So I asked him that question. I said, so how do you juggle that with the concept of Shaifa? Shaifa means drive, that you want to grow. You want to grow. You want to make a Shema Shas. You really do. What do you want to do? So he said a very interesting thing. He said that when it's a matter of striving versus a matter of ostentation, of showing off, you and only you will know it. That means if I wanted to put on a show, you might not pick up on it because you don't really know. But I know. I know in my mind, in my heart, what do I want? What do I want? I want Shif, I want to finish Shas, because I want to know Shas. Not because I want everybody to come to my scene. And Hashem knows that that's what I really wanted. It's even paining me. But I have to make the scene because it will give chizik to the people around. Oh, Hashem knows that. You don't have to worry about that. Hashem knows. The problem with Ayin Hara is that sometimes we do it because I want everybody to know it. I want it in the headlines. Then you got a problem. So he says, it's very easy. Because if you're intellectually honest with yourself, you'll always know when it's because you just have a cheshek to learn and to do better and to be liked by Hashem, and that Hashem should see you trying. Versus when, and the whole world should see that I'm trying to make Hashem happy. He said, so therefore the answer to that question is you got to be intellectually honest. And if you stay grounded and you remember that after all, who are we already? So it's easier to stay intellectually honest. But if you live in the Ilam HaDimyon, in the Chaloyim, it's much, much harder. It's much, much harder.
So in this case, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah?
Oh.
They were for their personal
cover. See, Mom is stealing my whole show here, but the problem is that this Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah died from the, according to Rav. Yeah. Right? Good. Now let me juxtapose that with a pasuk in this week's parsha, which always bothered me. It says like this: Ayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Hashem is speaking to Avraham Avinu, and he says, Ayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Asher Yitzicha Meir Kazim. Now remember, he said Hananya Mishael were not the first ones thrown into an to a fiery furnace. Avraham Avinu was. He was the first one. Correct? And it says that I am Hashem. Hashem says, "Sicha meyur kasm." Losses lecha es haaretz hazayis l'rishta. If anybody stops you in the street, I'm very new, so I have 1 mile over you. I came to Israel more recently than you did, so it's still very fresh by me. You know, it's even fresher by him because he came a little after you, but he's an old timer. He was here 6 years ago. But Lamaisa, where is the passing? Where do we know that the land of Eretz Yisrael was given as ours? As Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. This week's parasha. This, and everybody walking around has to know this. I'm the Hashem that took you out from the fire and furnace by your custom. Loss is a chawai to give you, it's a Eretz Azayis Levishna. The land of Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. What happened? Vayayimar. So Avram said back to him, Hashem Elikim, Vamo'ida. He said, what does Vamo'ida mean? He basically asked for a sign. What? How am I going to know? Now, right before that, Rashi points out, we have Kodesh Baruch Hu promised Avram that, hey, you're not going to stay childless. You're going to have kids. He didn't say Vamo'ida. He didn't say Vamo'ida, did Rashi point out. It was only here he pointed out. When he was going to give the lid, who was going to be given Eretz Yisrael, there he said, and how will I know? And Hashem explained to him the whole matzav, how it was going to work out. Until at the end, Vayemahu on that day, Koras Hashem, as Avram, Pris Leim Hashem, Avram went into a covenant together. Leimor saying, Lazaracha, Nasati, as a Eretz Azayis, to your generations, children that are going to come to you, I will give this land. In Nahar Mitzrayim from Egypt, and Nahar Gado, Nahar Peros, and Zakeni, and Zakenidi, all of this. Whoever was in Eretz Israel, and these are the borders, it's yours. It's going to be yours. Now, let's understand a couple of things over here. According to what we're saying in Rav, I and her, right? So what should have happened if you were writing the book? The script should go like this. Avraham Avinu got out of Ur Kasdim and the next day he dropped dead. Why not? Because there was no Ein Horus then, because it was before Mount Torah. You don't find that before Mount Torah or if Mount Torah, if an Afka Mina, there is Ein Horus. I mean, it's got to eat up. And then I have another problem that always bothered me. This problem I just mentioned is a new problem, but an old-time problem. We discussed this a week ago. The story of Ur Kasdim is not written in the Torah. It's not. It's hinted to, but it's not written. But what about the fight with the four kings and the five kings? That's a whole bunch of psukim. And it made no sense that Avraham Avinu should be able to win that battle, correct? And he will overcome and he won, correct? That was right before Hashem promised him that he would have children. And that preceded this promise that we're going to get Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Pasuk write it like this? I am Hashem. I am Hashem. I share it to Sicha Memuchama. It begs the one thing that the Torah doesn't even describe. And this is what Hashem uses to like hang his hat on, so to speak, to say that, and I'm giving you this land. And it created a problem because I've already said, but Ma'ida, if he would have used the Milchama, maybe I've already wanted to say that. Who knows? I don't know. But one thing we see clearly is that if Lech Lecha was a tremendous Nisayon. He had to leave everything. That happened right before this. The Maisi were light. So many things happened. And what happens when Avraham Avinu is being told by Hashem, I am Hashem that I'm going to take you out of it. I'm going to give you this land. He uses the thing I should say, Sichemir Kasim. So because of all of this, I thought of a potential mahalach, a method, maybe to understand it. That if Chatzka Levinstein is down in one of his memoriam on Midas, the Indian of Ahato Yachal Kamarach. Now let's understand, Ayin Hara is, let's assume, in coming from, I'm better than you. I have this, I did this, I was saved from that. Create Ayin Hara. Rahata Yachal Kamercha is the exact opposite, where I'm no better than you, I'm no different than you, we're Kamercha, we're the same. We're the same Amish, there is no difference. And Hashem said to the Malachim, when he sent the Malachim to Avram Avinu, so he said, "Amachasa ani me'avram Asher ani Yosef." He says, "Could I hold back and not tell Avram Avinu
that I'm going
to destroy Lot, that I'm going to destroy Sodom? I can't." That means ki yedatev l'man Asher yitzaves bonaves beis yachav. Ki yedatev, Rashi says, the lashon of chibur. It's an intimate love. It's usually a lashon that's used between a husband and a wife. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that lashon to give an example, a dugma, of his love to Avram Avinu. And therefore, Amachas Anim Avram Asher Ani Yisrael, can I hold it back and hide it from him? I can't do that. Avram Avinu needed to know. What did Avram Avinu need to know? Because what did Avram Avinu try to do? Avram Avinu tried to daven for the Rishon in Sodom. Maybe there's 50 tzaddikim. Maybe there's 40. All the way down to 9. You got it down to 9 with HaKadosh Baruch. And the Medrash brings down, the Farshim brings down, that Avram Avinu was told to stop. And Hashem walked away, because if he would have continued, he would have been Matzliach. He would have gotten down to 5 or 4 or 3. That's what would have happened. Avram Avinu, his love for somebody else was so strong, it was not separated from himself. That means that what happened to someone else was like it happened to him. For good and for bad. He was connected totally in all ways. That was Avram Avinu. That was the dugma. That was what the Madrega of Avram Avinu. Well, I can only use a different question maybe to help you out. And this I heard from Avigdor Miller many, many times. It's in his books, he said it many, many times. He says, "Avram Avinu is so great, why don't you give the Torah then?" So it's taking your question and amplifying it in a little different air. I'm taking it down a different street right now. Okay? But it's got similar content, okay? It would make sense. And then, Yitzchak kept the Torah. We all know that Yaakov even learned the whole Torah in Shem Ve'Evir, right? If you want to tell me about Adam Rishon Noach, the world wasn't Mesudah, so there was nothing to give the Torah to. Avraham Avinu came along, and he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 3, Chazal say, and he made the Delikei HaShemayim into the Elikei Oret. Until that point, no one was cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why did I give the Torah at that point? That's the question. And then, just to extend it, in order to try to answer your question, is what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go through? At the end of the day, he wasn't also zechut to get into Eretz Yisrael. That means even when Kazel finally got Eretz Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed in. And he begged. He wanted to go in as a bird. And Hashem said, no, I'm doing it. All because he hit the rock. So we see that there was a specific, I guess, metric that had to be reached in order for there to be the knisa into Eretz Yisrael. What was that metric? And Avigdor explains, and I think will help your question as well, just that this is not nothing to do with our Gemara now, but he's asking a good question, and that what is Eretz Yisrael? What is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael without the Torah, Eretz Yisrael without a Klal Yisrael is nothing. Yes, there's Kedusha in the land, but it's the blueprint of the world, which is Torah, that created that Eretz Yisrael is Har Moriah. Where is it said that Har Moriah is the most holy place in the world? In the Chumash. It's the Nesinas HaTorah. It's Torah. Without Torah, nothing exists. That's the way it is. If not for Torah, there would be no world. Now, you can't have Torah without a people to accept the Torah. The people have to be groomed to accept the Torah. They have to go through the Atzas Mitzrayim. They have to go through the belittling, the humbling, and then see the Nisim in order to reach Mempesh Ari Tumo, the lowest of the low of Mamish, to then be brought out through the Midbar to be Makabal Turin Har Sinai a few months after they left Mitzrayim. It's all why? So that there would be a Kim Lanetzach, so that 6,000 years later we're still learning the same Torah. It wasn't Shaykh for it to be accomplished in any shortcut. It doesn't work that way, because they don't have Kiyum. There's no Kiyum. To use a current event as a collateral, to show you a dogma in current events. You could go to the United Nations and you could declare yourself a state. But it ain't going to have a Kiyum if that's the shortcut. If there's a Mahalach, and it takes years, and it takes real compromise, and real negotiation, however you want to say it, but all the political words, then there's a chance. And even that's kula haiva ulai. That's the truth. Ulai, maybe. Still need nisim galuyim on a daily basis. But lemaisa, for a kiyum, you have to be a shilshul of events, a whole chain of events. All one thing leading up to the next thing. So first we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what do you do with that recognition? Yitzchak instituted Tefillah. Yaakov then instituted Torah. And then slowly it went to the shift. They called down to Moshe Rabbeinu when Klal Yisrael was ready to be Mekabel Torah and Asa ben Ishma. That then you could go into Eretz Yisrael. And that's as you read Pesach by the Haggadah, and you go through the list of Dayenus, you'll see one of them is in the Hiluch, the son of the Shabbat, no, you lost it. Dayenu, all the Mepharshim ask, what's going on here? It would be worth nothing. And there's a whole bunch of Tirutzim, and that's why the Shabbat takes 2 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the morning. But that basically will give us a better understanding. But in order not to, I don't know what time it is already, what time is it? But in order to finish that we should I want to just furize this point here. And I was just aiming on it, but I think it's endless. But there's so much more. We'll have to continue each of Sunday. But what was different about Ur Kasdan than the fight with the four kings and the five kings? The fight with the four kings, that could be looked at. There could be some, I did something there. Maisha, I've ever been around to fight. He didn't just go in there and stand in front of everybody. He used strategies. He shot from here, then he ran to the other side, he shot from there, and he made them think there were people all over the place. And it's the strategies that they use now in any warfare. It's called deception. And he used a lot of other chachmas and tefillah and everything else, obviously. But there was the concept of Maisha, a Yarkas Chanichov, and he ran out to do battle. That means there was a certain ishtadlus, there was something involved. By Ur Kasdan, was there anything that Avraham Avinu did? Did he do anything? Did he go in there with like an ice pack, hoping to cool down the fire? He did nothing. Nothing. There was no other way to look at it. Even from the wrong guys, without acknowledging Yad Hashem. There was no strategy. He put on a coat, the coat would burn. He took off the coat, he'd burn. There's no mahalach. There's no other mahalach. Correct? When it comes to giving children, people are involved. They're the stadlus, there's this, there's that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, you're going to have children. Avraham Avinu didn't have to say, how will I know? When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem wanted you to know, it doesn't make sense. It's like Ur Kasdan. You might think it makes sense because we corrupt ourselves into thinking it makes sense. but it's your kasha. Ani Hashem Hashem Tisicha Merkavdim, and therefore, so if that's the case, so how am I going to know? You know how I knew with the fire? Because I walked out of it. Okay, it was pretty clear that, yeah, you saved the day. Yeah, how do I know the next thing? So Hashem said, okay, I'll have to show you how you're going to know. But now what was the purpose of it? Amaisis, my first question comes back though. He should have died, just like Harani Mishal Azariah. Teretz Yitzchak from Avinu, V'ahavta Re'acha Kamecha is, V'amachas Ani Me'Avram, that he felt that Yenim was him. In such a mindset, it's impossible to have Ayin Hara. Because he wanted to be Yenim. He wants to be the other person. It doesn't. You don't see by Hananiah Mishael Azariah such a mahalach, because we didn't see too much from Hananiah Mishael Azariah in a way before that. My so much. Do you read through Nachem? There's a lot there, but you don't see what Avraham Avinu was doing throughout his involvement, and therefore it could be. I was thinking that this is exactly why Avraham Avinu didn't have to, and that's why Avraham Avinu was the one who then carried on the torch. The exact opposite. Hananiah Mishael Azariah, according to Rav, had to die. But Avraham Avinu, Gufa used that as a springboard towards all of the rest of the things that Avraham Avinu was going to do. And it could be that such a mahalach. I don't know for sure, and feel free to chip in your 2 cents. But it's 10 after 10. But I just, such a concept. It's interesting. I think, it's just all, that's what Hashem's saying. It's your custom. Doesn't make any sense for me otherwise. Some of the other things you could do, Teretz says, Hashem wants you to know, with all your establishments, it's worth nothing. It's mamash or kasha.
So why was Avram punished for all the shit to say that by him asking?
He wasn't punished.
By him asking.
Oh, yeah, because it's kachut asayra, there could have been a looking. Hashem
so
says,
how does that fit in with this? Where I was saying it's a valid question.
I guess at the end of the day, when somebody wants something so much, this is what we discussed a few months ago. Even Yeshua said, "Adoni Moshe Kloyin." That means he slipped, he made a mistake, and if he was punished, Yeshua, he never had daughters, he never had sons, because he was Mori Halacha Lefnei Rabbi in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though he was complaining about the you know Elder Umeidad, that they were giving him Nevuah B'Machaneh, and they were being Mori Halacha Lefnei Rabbi. So exactly what he was trying to fix, he was Nichshelim. If you find sometimes where the emotions get ahead of you. When someone loves something, wants something so great, so it could be you could connect what happened with Yeshua to here. That's a Penach Libu to the Baruch from Chavetz Chaim. It could be, but they're held to very high madrega. There's a microscope on the others. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he hit the rock, will start going into Eretz Yisrael. You know, like we can't be Mashiach. Why Hashem does this? You know, Tzadik V'Ralei. Rosh of a terrible, and we don't know the whole. Hashem wants that his next world should be totally pure, without any pickpock or shemetz of a problem. So therefore, let him get the punishment in this world. This way, when he gets up there, he's got a clean slate. It could be that would be mahalach, but each thing has to be independently analyzed. Not so simple. All right, to be continued. Very good. Oh, by the way, the Rav just told me that there's going to be a new program in a few weeks from now on Sunday night. He wants permission to ask us to discuss